was just walking by your room, and you know, I was thinking, boy, it's been a long time since we've had the little father-son chat.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I bought some magazines. Do you want to just flip to the center section? Well, this is the female form.
Andy Dirt Johnson.
This is Hustler, and this is a much more exotic magazine. Look at the expression on her face. You see that? See what she's doing? She's kind of looking right into your eyes, saying, "Hey, big boy. Hey, how you doing?" You see?
Right. And Brendan Sprague.
Shave is a magazine I'm not too familiar with, but again, if you flip to the center section, well, you see the detail that that they go into in this picture here.
Yeah.
It almost looks like a tropical plant or some underwater thing.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Okay, that was good.
Yeah.
See you at dinner.
I'll see you at dinner.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
Are you serious?
I am serious, Ken. I am serious. I miss that guy.
I know.
This time of year, man.
I thought about reaching out, just seeing if
so he went on a long
tournament.
He made his Twitter account private, old Ken Barkley did. So unless you're following him, you can't see what Ken Barkley's up to. But he's been doing some, like, I think he was on vacation with the family, spent some time on social media. He says he still has a media embargo until September 1st.
Okay.
And maybe longer.
All right.
So we'll try and get him in the hopper. September 2nd. Let's go, Ken Barkley. Let's talk some NFL futures. That'll be opening week of the NFL season,
Tuesday,
I would think, right?
The Tuesday after Labor Day.
Let's go, baby. Yeah. So we miss Ken this time of year, especially with all the gambling going on with the NCAA.
I hope he's doing well, though.
Seems like he's doing fine. Yeah, seems like he's doing good. He's enjoying life. He's gambling. He's sports gambling for a living.
Know.
I mean, that's one of those things that I'm sure is far more stressful than I'm giving it credit for, but also something we all dream of, like, what a cool
job.
If
you could make that, if you could just figure out how to do it.
If you're making good money every year to sustain your family, bring it in an income, and you're just following markets and placing bets and
come up with some sort of
the dream,
analysis,
man.
Strategy.
Yes, he's got all his different things, his spreadsheets that he types into, I'm sure. So we miss Ken, man. Last to get to an hour number two, I want to ask the question, did this move your needle? We'll get to that coming up in a few moments. Russell Wilson signed with the Giants yesterday.
Mr. Unlimited.
Jameis Winston. Tommy Cutlets.
It's so good. The Patriots signed a wide receiver. Why aren't the Chargers adding any wide receivers? We'll get to that. I want to talk about that. Let's start, though, with some sad news last night, and that was revealed. So Damian Lillard's been out of the lineup now for a while.
Yeah, he missed the last three or four games.
It was
a strained calf.
Strained calf was what the Cavs were saying, and then Doc, before the game yesterday, said, well, his calf's not really getting any better. He had missed some time earlier in the season with a same calf injury. So this has kind of been something he's been lingering with and dealing with for the majority of the season. And before the game yesterday, Doc Rivers, who, by the way, I don't want to get sidetracked here. Did you see the Doc Rivers sit-down interview that he did about his coaching career?
No.
He legitimately had a quote in there where he said, he was asked about blowing multiple 3-1 playoff series in his coaching career, and he had a legitimate quote where he said, I don't get enough credit for winning the three games.
Okay.
That's a serious quote from Doc Rivers. I don't get enough credit for winning the three games. Why does everybody get hung up on blowing the lead and not giving me credit for winning the three games? I digress.
Whatever you got to tell yourself.
Stop playing fault. So after the game last night, I think Haynes was the first one that had this report, but it was all over the place. Damian Lillard, it has been announced, he's been diagnosed with deep vein thrombosis, which is essentially a blood clot. And he has it in his right calf. So that's what he's been dealing with in his calf. He's been on blood-thinning medication now for a while. They're saying it's stabilized the clot, but he's out indefinitely. Now, this hit the NBA a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about it. Victor Wembanyama. As the Spurs were pushing for a play-in spot, he had one in his shoulder. They shut him down. We're not going anywhere.
Well, in order to treat it, you have to go on blood-thinning a medication, which, if you were to get, not only a cut, but it's more about an internal bruise. You get something and the bleeding won't stop internally. It could be
very bad.
Fatal.
Very, very bad. So Victor
Wembanyama,
that's
why they just shut him down. You're not going anywhere near anything.
Not doing anything. So he was done for the year. So this is the second time it's hit the NBA now this season. And it does lead to the questions of just the long term. So Milwaukee, the last 2 years in the playoffs, they've lost early. You know, obviously Giannis won the title a couple years ago.
The last 2 years.
Back-to-back years. 2 years ago, Giannis goes down in the series. They lose to Miami the year
Middleton
Miami went on the run.
Play, I don't think, in
think
that one.
Middleton, I think, was also hurt last year.
Giannis was out. Dame didn't play
Dame
the entire
missed two
series.
Games. He missed four, or only played in four of the six games. And so injuries might be ending the Milwaukee Bucks run here. And it just it's kind of an interesting thought where Lillard's not been terrible this year. Like, he's had a better year this year than he did last year.
Yeah.
Seems like he stabilized himself a little bit.
He was able to be there through training camp, through the summer. He was settled. He was just focused on basketball rather than the transition and divorce and custody of kids and what's going
on. Where am I
going
to go?
Yeah.
Where do I need to move? His family life is in disarray. So his numbers are up basically across the board. He's, you know, field goal percentage, three-point percentage, assist numbers,
when
rebound numbers.
When he and Giannis are out there and are healthy, they are a formidable team.
Without a doubt. And so he's had a better year, but it just makes you wonder at this point for him, being 34 years old. He's about to turn 35 in July.
Yep.
So at the end of this season, he's turning 35. Giannis has been a guy that we have eyeballed for a long time of like, is he going to be in Milwaukee long term? Is he going to be happy?
There's ownership shifting going on.
Yep,
the great
stuff going
Jimmy
on behind
Haslam
the scenes.
Now is taking more power with that. I'm sure Milwaukee fans are ecstatic about that.
He's done such
that.
A great job with the Browns. That would entice me and be very excited about that. So I just it's interesting to be 35 years old, potentially have this be your last legitimate shot at a title, depending on how the offseason goes for Milwaukee. And you might be done for the rest of the season. And so it's a tough blow for our guy Dame, who I think we all wanted to see have success when he moved on. Nobody really blamed him for the decision that he made. It just is a reminder that, you know, he absolutely made the right call. Portland was slow playing him and wanted him to be the bad guy, and we just drafted your replacement number three overall, and we're not trading Anthony Simons, and we drafted Shaden Sharp. Like, this is not – we got four point guards on the damn team. This isn't going to work. So we unquestionably made the right decision, but it's just a reminder of – for the guys that do ask for trades, like the prime example that I've always pointed to is Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Chris Paul was a guy who said, get me out of here. I want to go have a chance to win. Trade gets shut down to the Lakers. Maybe his career is different if it doesn't.
Does he still blame the league? I wonder if he still blames the
probably.
League.
Probably. He goes to the Clippers. Again, with Doc Rivers, you blow a 3-1 lead. They don't, you know, Lob City doesn't quite get it done. Let's bounce out. All right, now we're going to Houston. Okay, we can't make a three in game seven. Now we'll go. He just has jumped around from team to team to team. And he's been a bit of a nomad now for the last 10 or so years of his NBA career. And guess what? He still doesn't have. He still doesn't
still
have an NBA.
Have a ring.
Still doesn't have a ring. So again, Dame made the right call because the Blazers were basically forcing his hand. But it just is a reminder that sometimes you go look for those greener pastures and they don't exist, because I think the primary reason, if you were ever to ask him, if you were to leave Portland, what was it for? It'd be to win an NBA championship. Now, maybe at some point he gets the Gary Payton, I'm the seventh guy on the bench, and I come in to play 12 minutes a night in 3 years.
Well, I'm curious if
get a title that way. But
if there's another move for him, what direction does he go?
And also, if you're Milwaukee, what do you do here? Because Milwaukee, we talked about them earlier this week, I think, or maybe last week. What can they do?
I don't know.
You got two massive contracts on your books, Giannis and Dame, eating up a huge chunk of your money. You've used up a lot of your future draft capital to go get Damian Lillard in that trade that we now hold on to. This is all good news if it blows up for Portland, because those picks are going to be enticing in the next couple of years. That's a major win for Joe Cronin if it transpires that way. I don't know what your other option is. They don't have any money to spend. They don't have many assets. What else on their roster is attractive in a trade if you're an NBA GM? Is there any young player that you're thinking, you know what? That's enticing. You give me that in a first-round pick or that in a second-round pick, I'll give you something that's matters.
I don't know.
It's nothing on their roster that's entertaining me in that trade. So they're stuck in a really weird spot with an aging star at 35. Yeah. Giannis, who has been kind of eyeballing exits, it feels like,
for
a year or two.
If you move one of them, then does the other one go when their contract is up?
Right.
I go, what am I doing here?
And if I would imagine Dame's the first one that you move.
He would try to.
I would think. What's the interest in the market for a 35-year-old who's now dealing with blood clots in his calf?
$60 million a year, whatever his contract is next.
So it just, this might be legitimately the last time we see them have a chance to win a title. Because Boston's not going anywhere in the East.
Yeah.
You got up-and-coming teams all over that
Cleveland
conference.
Cleveland looks like they're, I don't think they're going to get monkeyed with.
Yep.
The Knicks, if they can find one more piece, could be, something to deal with in the next few years.
Yeah. So he's got, Dame does, This is, let's see, 24-25. So it appears he's got two more years left on this deal. One of them is a player option, which he's going to pick up at the age of 36.
I would think so.
It's all estimated right now because of the way the...
Oh, it's the Supermax, so it's a percentage.
Supermax, a percentage.
The salary cap's going up 10% next year.
So that'll help him a little bit, but but that also means his number's going to go up.
Numbers go up.
So his estimated deal next year is $54.1 million.
Wow.
And then in 26-27, he has a player option for an estimated $58.45 million. Yeah. He's not opt. I mean, that's he's going to opt in.
I mean, the only thing, you wonder, and I don't know what Giannis's deal is at. You wonder, Dame, though, I think is somebody, because of all of his other, business interests that he has, like if they came to him and tried to negotiate a buyout, just say, hey, if you want to go win a title, we can't make it work. We can't make a deal work to trade you somewhere. That's,
I mean, Haslam's got money to spend. I know that. He's not a good owner, but he's got a lot of money to spend.
Yeah. So, well, but are they really going to go into the second apron?
Yeah, I don't know how that works in NBA contracts. Can you just buy guys out? How does that process? I know there was the...
I don't know what the... We've had there's our, usually something on the cap. You can like split it up over 2 years, whatever's remaining on the last year, something like that.
Yeah,
you still have dead cap money, but you can
lessen the impact. So in 2 years, it's not 58.
Dame seems like somebody that might be willing to listen to that conversation. If he could go somewhere, could he go to the Warriors?
Yeah. Go to Golden State, come off the bench, or play point guard minutes next to Steph.
Go home and, that sort of thing. He'd have a discussion with you. He might not do it. I don't know that Giannis would have that discussion.
Yeah, the Giannis one, I mean, Giannis is still in the prime of his career, so there's still something there. They don't have a lot of, ways to improve
the roster. I don't think the Bucks
the
can
term,
let go of Giannis. Giannis will have, it'll be like a Blazer situation. They're going to make Giannis force his way out.
Yes, you're not just going to willy-nilly open, you're not going to go Luka Doncic on his ass in the summer. That's not going to happen. But I was really bummed reading that, man. Hopefully he's this is short term and he's able to come back.
I got the sense from some of the statements that the doctors believe this is
He's not shut down for the rest of the year. He's out indefinitely is what they're saying.
In terms of cases of this condition, it is manageable, treatable.
They're saying
they
in the last couple of days
it was going to be chronic where this was going to happen all the time. It was a isolated thing.
I'm hoping he's back in the playoffs,
we
man.
Hope that's the case.
Yes, the guy deserves a chance to win because he was never given a fair chance for his decade plus in Portland. He was never given that chance. The organization never took a swing. He was forced out, or he had to force his way out, essentially, because they forced his hand, and now this has happened. Giannis gets hurt in year one in Milwaukee. They lose in the first round. He misses two games in the playoffs, and now in year two, he's dealing with this with 11 games to go in the regular season. Hope it's not long-term, but tough news for our guy Dame last night. Let's get to this. Did it move your needle last night? Because I didn't really have a reaction to it, but some people did, and I want to ask that. Did it move your needle? Also, reminiscing about the greatest of these moments in sports. We'll talk about that next on The Fan. Well, did it move your needle? We'll get to Russell Wilson coming up bottom of the hour. It's funny. We opened the show yesterday joking about how Sprague needs to unplug. He needs to do a better job of that. He's sending in topic ideas. I'm like, dude, you're going on vacation. You're go to Ben. Please enjoy the weather. And then yesterday he texts and says, I'm not coming back. Which Central Oregon has that effect on everybody. But it was funny because the first thing that he texted as a topic idea, which we did not talk about on the show yesterday, because I'm going to answer my question in the teaser right now, it did not move my needle, was that we had a return game last night in the NBA. So now that the game has transpired, we have an outcome of the game, and this became a bit of a, it was around the socials last night, if you will. Jimmy Butler made his return to Miami last night. Bobby Marks this morning, I believe it was on ESPN, called out the Miami Heat fan for the way that they reacted to this. So for those of you who did not watch and are wondering if it also did not move your needle, they cheered him. They gave him a great ovation.
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy's back. Hey, thanks, Jimmy. We love Jimmy. Who didn't love playoff Jimmy? Like, got us the two NBA championships.
That's Miami
like,
fan.
Thank you for your services.
They're not Philly fan. They're not New York fan.
Oh, God, no, they're not. They leave NBA finals games early in Miami.
Yeah.
So that's how they greeted Jimmy Butler. Did this move your needle at all?
I was aware of it. I was curious.
Were at home, because I know you had to work last night. If you were at home.
If I was at home, I would have flipped this over because it was 4:30. It was an early game.
It was the early TNT game.
I would have flipped it over. I would have been disappointed because there were reports that Steph Curry was going to come back and play in this game, and he didn't play. Yeah. Which severely affected the outcome.
Yes, it did.
I would have watched the beginning and then quickly realized.
Just to see the reaction from the fans, just to see how he was greeted?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it was just one that was, in. You know, he didn't win a title there. He wasn't drafted by Miami. I know he's become, you know, synonymous with them a little bit here the last handful of years. They got to a finals last year, or 2 years ago, excuse me. The bubble finals, they made that run and came up just short. He's a guy who's played for four different organizations, I think, before this, or at least three.
Three before that, I think.
Yeah, because it was Chicago, Minnesota, Philadelphia, and then he goes to Miami. So he's a guy who's bounced around a ton. They just didn't really do anything for me. Miami did get the win. They killed him. Jimmy Butler did nothing in the game. Steph, to your point, did not play, which hurt them. And so they won the game, I think, by 26 last night. But it did send me down a rabbit hole because Damian Lillard, again, also in the news last night. And who can forget the Damian Lillard return game of last year? That holds more significance for me as a sports fan because it's my team. But also I think it's different for a guy who was drafted, grew up, like – That's all you know, and whether you win a title or not, there's a different feeling of that. It's Russell Westbrook going back to Oklahoma City the first time, those kind of situations. And when you think of return games, what are the first two or three that pop? If I just ask you, what are the most memorable return games in your life?
Honestly, the return game, I don't remember specific games.
You don't remember Gretzky going back to Edmonton first time? Do you not remember watching that?
No. That may not have been on regular U.S. TV.
God, what a mistake back then, but I know that's the way broadcasting used to work.
I know that was a huge deal. Yeah. I mean, I remember the reactions to things and, you know, Montana's first game as a Chief.
Back in San Francisco.
Back with San Francisco.
Yep.
You know, but to remember the specific game, no, I don't remember anything that was...
Favre going back to Lambeau the first time. Man. No, didn't do it for you.
Nah.
Yeah, these can be entertaining from a fan base angle. And just, you know, you can get great atmosphere. So the LeBron one going back to Cleveland is probably.
I'm more once somebody moves on, they move on.
You just not. Yeah.
Like if you want to go back, you know, Drexler going to. And it also depends.
Do you remember the first Drexler game back in Portland? You don't remember it?
I don't remember it. Yeah. Sprague might.
He was probably too young. What would that have been? 95 when he left? What was his first year in Houston?
Well, it was. I think it was a deadline deal. I think it was. Or was it in the offseason? I can't remember.
It was a deadline deal in 94-95.
Yeah.
So it would have been deadline
of
95.
It was the second title.
Yeah. He played 35 games for Houston in 94-95. So it would have been a question of did they have a game back in Portland the rest of that season.
A return game
but he was in Houston for three more years, so there was a return game at some point. Yeah, but I don't know if it happened right away.
It depends on if a guy was traded or if they forced their way out or, you know, just their contract was up. They had been there long enough. It was time to move on. I think the situation under which the player leaves the organization goes a long way in, what sort of atmosphere is for the return game.
Without a doubt. LeBron is the prime example of that. I'm taking my talents to South Beach, and he was booed every time he touched the basketball when he came into that game. There are some that I will always remember. Favre going back to Lambeau was one for me. He was just so good. I'm not quite old enough to remember... the Montana going back to San Francisco, that would have been a big deal. But Favre was so connected to Green Bay for so long, and it became insufferable at the end. But him, you know, having a chance to win a Super Bowl with Minnesota and playing his first game back at Lambeau,
now
his protege is now the starting quarterback.
Yeah, it's more weird things like watching Emmitt Smith in a Cardinals jersey.
Yeah.
That was just weird.
That's just weird. Just weird. He eventually, I'm sure, played a game in Dallas at some point.
Oh, yeah, they were still in the same division.
Still in the same division, so you're going to get that game. Dame, obviously, last year was a big one that I remember. LeBron, prime example. But
Rice in a Raider jersey.
Yeah, Jerry Rice coming back to San Francisco. A lot of those guys over the years. Jimmy Butler made his return to Miami last night.
Ray Bork in an Avs jersey winning the cup.
You're poo-pooing return games, huh?
I know.
Who's the most prominent Dodger that you remember coming back to LA for the first time?
Ooh.
There's got to be one.
Who was there for a long time?
Like if Kershaw had signed with another team this offseason, him coming back would be weird.
Wild.
Pitching in Dodger Stadium in a, Arizona Diamondbacks jersey. That'd be a little funky.
Yep. I'm trying to think who coming up, was their guy. Yeah.
You got nothing.
Nothing's coming to mind where nothing. I was like, oh, I got it.
You got nothing on return games.
Usually the Dodgers would be, you know, they develop their own guys and they would play for them, but then they would acquire, like, I got to imagine the Tigers fans watching Kirk Gibson as a Dodger.
I would imagine so. Mike Piazza coming back for the first time didn't do
anything
for him.
Piazza, where he was a Marlin for 5 seconds and then with the Mets.
And then went to the Mets.
Yep.
That would have been a little weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just that one didn't do a ton for me because Jimmy's bounced around. But fun to think about return games nonetheless. He made his return to Miami last night, and they did not play well at Golden State. Or Golden State did not play well, and they lost to Miami, which helped Portland in the standings. So thank you for that. Let's get to Russell Wilson going to New York. What the hell are the Giants doing? The Patriots added a wide receiver yesterday. NFL jumped back into the feed. We'll talk about that coming up next. Final hour of the show. I want to get to, I guess we don't miss this. That's been an interesting thing to see transpire. We got Saturday Story coming up at 8:15. Tyson Alger will join us at 8:30. Your Wednesdays are off to a good start. Let's get to the other news that came out yesterday.
Yeah.
This was entertaining.
Mr. Unlimited.
Spicy.
He's back. What's the most dangerous thing you've ever done? I would argue for the New York Giants, it's giving Russell Wilson $10.5 million of guaranteed money. And that happened yesterday.
You got to give it to somebody.
Is there a salary floor in the NFL?
Yeah, I believe so.
I believe so, yeah. So they signed yesterday. Everybody's been waiting on Cleveland, what are they going to do?
Well, everybody's
New York,
waiting
what
on
are they going to do?
Rodgers
and the Steelers. Seems like they're heading for a marriage. We talked about that yesterday morning. So everybody's, you know, these are the last kind of handful of teams. Titans, I guess, at the number one pick. You know, what's their plan? Are they taking Cam Ward, or are they going to trade back and get a haul, a king's ransom for that draft pick? So not many quarterback questions are left. We got Geno on the move. We got Darnold to sign. Like, a lot of these boxes have been checked. This is one, where's Russell Wilson going to go, and does anybody want Russell Wilson? That box has now been checked. He signed yesterday with the Giants for a deal up to $21 million. Comes with $10.5 million guaranteed. Now, he had interviewed with the Cleveland Browns as well. He was in Pittsburgh last year. Cleveland, and when the second he left Cleveland without a contract and a deal, you kind of felt like that's not going to happen. He's not going to end up in Cleveland. The Steelers seem to be all in on the Aaron Rodgers train. They just are now having to play the stupid Aaron Rodgers waiting game, and they're hopeful that he's not going to choose retirement over playing for Pittsburgh, because now essentially every other job is done. Like, the Giants are now no longer an option for Aaron Rodgers.
No.
For Aaron Rodgers, it is Pittsburgh or not playing football. You have two choices, and he's going to end up being a Steeler. We just, for some dumb reason, got to wait 4 months for it to happen.
Yeah.
But Russell Wilson signing with the Giants, it did make me chuckle. So he sent out a tweet, because if you remember, the Seattle Seahawks many moons ago won their Super Bowl at MetLife Stadium.
Yes.
Which is where the New York Giants play football.
They do.
And he sent out a tweet, said, "Hey, I've been here before. Can't wait to do it again." I just wanted to say, Russ,
New York fan is going to just fillet him.
I hate to break it to you, Russ.
First time.
I don't think you're going to win a Super Bowl in a Giants jersey. I know you're Mr. Unlimited, and I should never doubt.
Mr. Unlimited.
I apologize. I'm going to give you a bit of a spicy take. I don't think you're going to win a Super Bowl with the New York Giants. Be happy that somebody was willing to give you $10.5 million.
My answer to that would be, who the F cares?
I'm going to put this out as a poll question. He is very protective of his, like, he takes a lot of sacks to not have his numbers look bad. Russ has kind of been that guy now for two. He had 16 touchdowns and 5 picks last year. But he's a guy who just holds on to the ball. He takes back-breaking sacks to kill drives instead of turning the football over, because I think he cares about what his final stat line looks like. The other quarterback the Giants signed is not that way. Not that way at all in the
league.
He'll
let it fly.
He will let it fly. And that is, they literally just signed Jameis Winston to a 2-year, $8 million deal. And I remember when that happened, I thought, all right, I mean, Jameis is not a star. I mean, whatever. The Giants are going to suck next year no matter who their quarterback is. So, hey, let's have some fun with Jameis Winston, man. He's going to throw 17 picks, but he's going to make a couple incredible highlights and a couple of great throws. He's going to be hilarious off the field. His pregame speeches about, you know, getting the team going. Mic that guy up every day in practice for every game, and it's going to be great content. Love the move, Giants.
I would love.
And then they followed it up by signing another veteran quarterback who's not a starter.
Serum to Brian Daboll.
Like,
and
what?
Just.
What are we doing? Well, if you sign Jameis Winston, you're clearly not going to be good next year. I get that you have to spend money, but are there not other places on the roster that you could have signed free agents for $10.5 million guaranteed?
I don't know.
You thought Russell Wilson was the move? Look, our new boss, Ryan Cooley, who we love, our new fearless leader here at wonderful Odyssey Portland.
Diehard Giants fan.
He is a diehard New York Giants fan. He's a diehard Yankee fan. The Yankee fandom, he can run his mouth a little bit. They've been relatively good, although it's been a while since they've won a World Series. People don't forget.
Yeah, too cheap to sign Soto.
But he'll do this occasionally. The Giants will get brought up on the air, and he'll kind of poke his head in after a show and be like, well, you know, kind of give you the... Actually, you know, you kind of, this is the angle that I would, you know, give you one of those from a Giants fan angle. He is out. It is spring break. He's got kids, so he's not in the office this week. I can't wait to see him next Monday and just look at him and say, what's the defense of this one? How does this one make sense in any way, shape, or form? Now, do we know who the Hard Knocks team is next year?
For training camp, I don't believe that's been selected yet.
I now enter you into the chat with the New York Giants. Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston interacting with each other in a quarterback room, I would be willing to watch. Because it can't be a first-time head coach.
I think it would just be cringy.
You think it would? Well, Russ is very cringy. He's Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited.
I was reminded yesterday of the Mr. Unlimited video, if you want to watch it in its full effect.
No.
Go do yourself a favor. Find that thing. It's so good. It is so good. He is one of the weird, I mean, great guy off the field, does a lot of great things in the community. One of the weirdest athletes we've ever seen in modern professional sports.
Yes.
So it can't be a first-time head coach.
Right. Can't be.
And it can't be a team that was in the playoffs.
Playoff teams can say no.
Yeah. So, I mean,
and if you had done it in the last some odd seasons, you can back out too, I think.
So I'll try and run through teams that would fall in this category. The Giants would. The Titans would. The Browns could be on it. The Raiders can't. They hired a new coach. The Patriots can't. The Jags can't. Saints just hired a new coach. They can't. Yeah. Panthers could be on it. Bears were it last year, so they can't be on it. Jets just hired a new head coach. They can't do it. 49ers are technically a candidate. Cowboys are not. Hired a new head coach. Yeah. Cardinals. Dolphins. Although the Dolphins, did they do it a couple years ago?
I thought they recently did it. I don't know how many seasons.
Okay. Colts, Falcons, Bengals. These are your teams that you could choose from. Seattle technically could be on it. What's your best candidate there? There's not a lot of great.
Probably the Bengals.
Bengals, you would think?
Yeah.
49ers would be, I mean, like, you know, fandom reasons, but that's a team that's been good that you don't usually think you could get access to that level of Purdy and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be much drama. I think that's a lot of football.
Brandon Ayuk might have something to say about that. Remember when he wore the wrong shorts to practice and Kyle Shanahan had to kick him out? So you got little moments like that. But, like, Tennessee, I want nothing to do with. Cleveland, no thank you.
No.
You know, Carolina, no thank you, man. I want nothing to do with them. Yeah. So there's a handful on there that I just immediately rule out. Jameis Winston's entertaining to me. Jameis Winston is one of guy's got a bright media future ahead of him. He will find a career post-playing days.
I just think both those guys know they're going to be on camera the whole time, and I don't know how much authenticity
You get no authenticity because I don't know who Russell Wilson is. Yeah. Jameis Winston, I feel like, is Jameis Winston everywhere he goes. I don't think Jameis Winston has personality.
They just did the offseason one, so I don't know if qualifies. They can not do that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. That was the offseason. That wasn't the normal Hard Knocks. That was the offseason one, which the NFL is now refusing to do because we all called that at the time of, like, there's no chance an NFL team does this again.
No owner is going to agree.
Especially
with
that, how that works out with Barkley winning a Super Bowl and the negotiations and the draft and the decision to not take a quarterback.
Every ownership group and GMs go, get it out of here. I mean, they won't.
No chance.
Okay, whatever, but all of their meetings are going to be in private somewhere that they won't be on camera.
Yeah, I don't know if we got any Giants fans out there listening. What is the argument here? I'm fascinated by how this is spun at all. You have Jameis Winston, who's the same. He just throws more picks. He's more entertaining.
If you're tanking.
Yeah, Jameis Winston can tank for you. He's going to throw you 27 interceptions next year. Like, he's good enough to lose a lot of football games.
And then they plan on cleaning house entirely.
You're going to fire a coach.
Coach, GM, everybody.
They also might be, like, the other funny thing about this is they also might draft a quarterback. Like, we'll see how it all shakes out. But if Shador Sanders is there, I don't know when he's going to go, but they might take him. Deion is rumored behind the scenes to be saying Shador wants to go to New York. He wants to be in the New York market. You imagine a rookie quarterback then stepping into that room with Russ and Jameis.
Are those the two role models you want for Shador Sanders?
That's why it's all so funny to me. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Jameis would have been fine to tank you next season to get Arch Manning if that's what you wanted. But no, let's go get Russell Wilson. Let's get two bad veteran quarterbacks instead of one, because if you can have two, they're always better than one. Let's get to the other news out of the NFL yesterday. interesting move by one organization. How much stock do we put in them turning things around? And also, what does it mean for another team? Because I continue to wonder, what is their long-term plan there? We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. No problem finding that read. See if I can stay on my game here in the next hour and 10 minutes. We will talk an interesting argument that has been made that has been disproven immediately at the top of the hour. We got to get the Statter story at 8:15, and then we will talk to Tyson Alger at 8:30, a tale as old as time. Sprague's out. We book Tyson. That's how it works. So he will join us at 8:30. Yesterday, Russell Wilson was not the only NFL player in the news for reaching a free agent decision and contract.
This actually deal is probably a bigger deal.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. And I'm curious to ask about two different teams out of this deal. So yesterday, the other news that came out was Stephon Diggs signed with the New England Patriots on a 3-year, $69 million deal that includes $26 million in guaranteed money. So I think a lot of this, you know, every time you see an NFL contract, it's important to remember that that's not the contract.
No.
The contract is the guaranteed money and how quickly teams can get out of it.
So he's probably got most of it up front.
Most of it up front.
A little bit in the second year.
Maybe a year and then maybe a second year team option or what, you know, the ability to buy out, whatever, right? So 3 years, $69 million, not likely what it's going to end up being. We'll see. Maybe it is. But $26
million
guaranteed.
They had to get Drake May an actual.
They did. They went after Chris Godwin hard.
Yeah.
And Tampa has come out and said that they. Chris Godwin did not get as much money as he could have coming back to Tampa.
Right.
That New England offered him an insane amount of money,
right.
And he said, I like it in Tampa. I like playing with Baker. I like being in this
exactly.
offense. Like, don't really feel like moving. I'm going to make good money here. Not as good, but good money.
Yeah.
So he elected to return to Tampa. And so the second that happened in New England, they had to pivot and try and go find somebody else, enter Stephon Diggs. Now, he did tear his ACL in Week 8. So I'm curious what the timeline is. He's on track to be ready for Week 1 of the NFL season and play this upcoming year. I don't quite have the same feeling about ACLs as I would, you know, an Achilles for a wide receiver at Stephon Diggs' age. I also don't view him as necessarily a number one option. I view him as a good wide receiver. But the trend that I love to see is, and I feel like this has happened in Washington in the offseason, and now New England is following suit. New England, I would argue, made unquestionably the right call in firing their head coach and hiring Mike Vrabel. And now they've gone about trying to find ways to make life easier for Drake May. You got a quarterback on a rookie deal. You believe he is your guy. So do whatever you can to build around him and set him up for success. And one of the issues that New England has had for God knows how long. When's the last time New England had a wide receiver that you watch and said, ooh, that guy's a problem.
Randy Moss.
It's been a minute, man. You had your Julian Edelmans. Like, they were good.
Oh,
Brady
yeah,
won
Wes
titles.
Welkers and Julian Edelmans. And
like
no.
a true number one wide receiver. It's been
no,
a minute for
No, it was their tight
the
ends.
Man.
It
yes.
was Gronk and
Yeah, it was Gronk and
the other
slot
guy.
Wide receivers.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that. Yeah, the other guy, Aaron Hernandez, right? So they've been looking for this for a long time. I love the move for New England. Again, it's not a true 3-year, $69 million deal. It's let's see how healthy you are. We'll give you some money up front.
Yeah.
You play great. You
if
stick
he plays
around for
into
a while.
It, then, yeah, they'll keep him around.
They got no problem giving you $69 million if you play up to that level. So love the move for New England. They got money to spend. They had a lot of cap space coming into the offseason. I think they're having a good offseason. It'll be interesting to see if they can take a big jump in year two under Drake May, who showed flashes. Wasn't great. He's a rookie. It's going to happen. Can he take a big jump in year two?
Wasn't a lot there to work with.
Was not a lot there for him to work with. And that leads me to what another team is doing. And I know this can be a dead horse for some, but I am genuinely intrigued by it. And we do have a diehard, lifelong fan of the team on our show. And it is Jason Swigart. The Chargers have not added a wide receiver. Well, they have.
No, they got Mike Williams back.
The Chargers have not added a legitimate wide receiver. And this was another one that was on the, like, the pipe dream scenario was T. Higgins.
Yes.
You know, is he going to be moved from Cincinnati? Didn't happen.
He
they
wanted
got the
to
deal
stay.
Done.
They gave him the bag.
Gave him the bag.
Whatever.
Didn't plan on trading him. So that didn't end up taking place. We've seen other guys who have, you know, the older generation, Cooper Kupps, if you will, Davante Adams, those guys have landed. Yep. Not going to L.A. Well, one of them is just not playing for the Chargers. Stephon Diggs was kind of the next in line. Godwin, they didn't get, obviously. That didn't happen. The Chargers came into the offseason with some of the biggest money to spend.
They don't have a ton of cap room.
The Chargers do. They came into the offseason with a significant amount of money.
But I'm glad they're not throwing it just at somebody to throw it at somebody.
Can they contend with their wide receiver room?
Well, let's look at the depth chart. What do we got? Well, you do have McConkey.
You do. You have McConkey, who's a good slot wide receiver.
I think
he's not a number one weapon.
I'm curious what they're going to do. I think the bigger need is a tight end.
They added a couple of tight ends in the offseason. They just added the guy from the Jets.
Tyler Conklin?
Yeah.
That's not doing it for me.
No. But this, again, gets back to
what... There's two big-time tight ends that are first-round picks. Like, are they going to package some things and move up and go get one of them?
Yeah, I mean, if Will Disley's your number one weapon at times in an offense, you're not going to win anything that matters. No. It's just not going to happen.
I would rather see them back up the truck or make a big-time, you know, draft day move, trading picks to go get one of those tight ends.
I mean, it'd be lovely. They need another weapon.
Because I like McConkey. I think Williams still, I want to see him work with, I mean, one, there's familiarity, but I think Harbaugh will be better at trying to mold him into what they need.
His numbers down the field are
Quentin
good. He
Johnson
just hasn't been able to stay
better
healthy.
In year two than in year one. Hopefully there's some progression there.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of faith
but
in
Quentin
Johnson.
I think the biggest thing for them, I would go all in on trying to find a tight end that could be Brock Bowers 2.0.
Yeah, I mean, look, they went out and signed Najee Harris to be the new running back. So
I like that move.
Made
Great
a play
move.
There. So they
They're
still have J.K.
Dobbins
back. They're
trying to shore up the offensive line.
They're going that route.
That will help things almost as much as, you know,
you brought Khalil Mack
receiver.
Back. I just look at it, and if you were to throw out the playoff teams of last year in the NFL, and I'm not going to put everybody on the spot and make you do this right now, but just like a thought experiment, how many teams in the playoffs would you say from a skill position standpoint the Chargers were better than?
Not too many.
Not very many. They might have been the worst. Now, I'm not going to make you name everybody off the top of your head because you got to, all right, oh, yeah, that's right, they were. There's not a lot of teams that you would look at and say, and this is the argument that people made for a long time about Lamar, myself included, like Zay Flowers kind of turning into this. He's had Mark Andrews, who I know had a bad drop, but he's also been a very reliable tight end for them. But that's always been the thing with Lamar that I think has held that, like, he's just never had a legitimate. Throwing to Ja'Marr Chase makes your life a lot easier.
It sure does.
Throwing to Justin Jefferson makes your life a lot easier. Those guys don't grow on trees. I'm not saying it's easy to go find them, but there's a difference between having a decent wide receiver core. And Ladd McConkey was great as a rookie.
See, I think.
But I don't view him as a guy as a defense that I'm. I have to scheme around Ladd
that's
McConkey
why I
in
think,
order
though,
to stop
a
them.
A big time tight end that requires you
Maybe
to hold safeties and linebackers in the middle of the field. Now, if I have Ladd McConkey a one on one, you know, 90% of the NFL, I like my chances. There's a few guys that are great cover corners, and it's like, all right, we're going to have to scheme something else. If I get Mike Williams one on one with a number two cornerback, okay, now that gives him a better opportunity to not be perfect with his routes, but to use his athleticism to, you know, get, you know, make
they
some
need
catches.
A downfield threat because Quentin Johnson can't catch the football.
Yeah, I know. So that's why I think a tight end helps the receivers they have on, plus you've got somebody that you can rely on in short yardage situation, goal line situation.
Yeah, I like the move. Look, I don't know if I don't think Stephon Diggs is a number one wide receiver anymore. I think he can be a good wide receiver for a team.
But he'll be reliable.
If you put him in the Chargers wide receiver room next year, where does he stack up?
Well, him.
Yeah. Like, that's the point of, like, that could have been an improvement you made. You had some money to spend, 20-something million guaranteed, all they had to give him. Decided not to. To your point, maybe it's a draft move for them. Maybe they like some of the guys in this class, although it's not a great wide receiver class.
Tyler Warren.
Maybe it's Tyler Warren. You'd try and move up and go get Tyler Warren. If somebody's going to let him slip, maybe that's the move. I would argue, look at the playoff teams from last year and tell me how many teams you would take skill position-wise over what the Chargers had in the postseason. And so, interesting day in the NFL. Stephon Diggs signs with the Patriots, and Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited, heading to New York. We'll see if we get any more fireworks out of the National Football League today. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. You can find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, or online at crunch.com. Tyson Alder coming up. Daily ticker kick back to 8:30. We'll talk to him about the end of the Duck basketball season. The Timbers getting a big win. I-5 corridor Tyson Alder will join us coming up at 8:30. Status story at 8:15. Let's start Roberto with everybody said this is going to kill it, but it's not killing it. Loaded Final Hour next on The Fan.